They would elevate the sexual assault offenses of rape, aggravated sexual assault, forcible sodomy, up to the special court-martial convening authority. That means it would go up to at least an 06, a colonel or maybe captain's grade to be handled. So it's still within the chain of command, but let's say if somebody was sexually assaulted down at the a platoon or company level, where you have a company commander, a platoon commander that is lesser in grade, maybe a captain, a major, that case then would roll right up to that colonel or that captain, that Navy captain, up to the chain of command for them to handle advice at that level.
Now, is there some systemic change going on? I mean, the increasing numbers, do they tell you that something is going on, or is it simply greater reporting?
Well, it could be both. And I will tell you also that, you know, one of our goals is to have as many people report as possible, because we don't want people to have to deal with this throughout their lives and not get the help that they might need. And, you know, part of this is key is education. First off, we've got to get military members when they come in, DOD, and hundreds come in every week. They have to understand that sexual assault is a crime, and we're absolutely not going to tolerate it. And if they do engage in this kind of behavior, this criminal behavior, that they're going to be held appropriately accountable. So we also want to educate people that if you know somebody who's been assaulted, help them make the decision to come up through the chain of command, or if they don't want to go through the chain of command, they have other options. They can come in what we call a restricted report, where it's a confidential report that if they don't want the perpetrator to be held accountable, but they just want the services they might need, you know, perhaps counseling services or medical services, we will be there for them. So I don't want people to think that, you know, it's spiraling out of control, because we've really done an awful lot of education in terms of trying to get people to report being sexually assaulted so we can help them.
Well, that raises a good point, because this is not a new problem. We've been hearing about this for years. So why roll out these new initiatives now? Was it because you were hoping that this report from last year would be better than it was?
No, that has nothing to do with it. We're looking at how we can combat sexual assault in many different ways, because it is a problem, and we acknowledge it. It is a problem in the Department of Defense, and as the Secretary has stated, you know, we have zero tolerance for this. So these new initiatives that he introduced up through proposed legislation, it's going to give people more avenues by which to come forward, have this case handled, or have their cases handled at a higher level of command versus what it had in the past, as well as to give people some other opportunities in terms of we're robusting the training, you know, standing up a special victims unit capability, absolutely in terms of our reservists and our guardsmen, that the reserve component, giving them an opportunity to stay on what we call Title 10 orders so they can receive the necessary help they might need should they be sexually assaulted, and they come back to their unit. They're usually demobilized and go back to a Title 32 status, where they may not have as many services for them available in the local community. So we are going all out to help our victims of sexual assault in many, many different ways. But let me tell you also that we have always been very serious about this. The focus is really a laser focus in so many different areas, because it is a problem we have to attack at all different angles. As the Secretary said, there really is no one silver bullet.
We're speaking with Air Force Major General Mary Kay Hertog. She's Director of the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office of the Defense Department. And what about prevention? I mean, is it a matter of recruiting differently or training differently? What can be done to prevent the sexual assaults from occurring in the first place?
Well, that's a great question, because it has to be done up front, initially when we bring people on or on active duty in the military from day one, and it has to continue throughout their career. You know, one of the new initiatives that the Secretary brought up is within 14 days of coming on active duty is making sure that everybody is briefed about the crime of sexual assault and what constitutes sexual assault in the Department of Defense. And then while they're still in basic training, they'll receive training, more in-depth training, and then throughout their career. It is an annual retraining or training requirement for everybody. If you're a commander, you will have to have specialized training. If you're an investigator, even more specialized training, a judge advocate, because like I said, we want to be able to tackle this from many different aspects, and training is key to that. Prevention is key. Intervention. We do what's called bystander intervention training. We train members that say, hey, could I possibly pull somebody out of this vulnerable situation without risk to myself? And the feedback we've gotten on our bystander intervention training is pretty positive, saying, yes, people think they could do that. They could help their wingman out or their battle buddy out of a bad situation should the need arise.
So do these new initiatives reflect a change in philosophy or new evidence, new learning in terms of the medical community when it comes to sexual assault?
We put forward a number of initiatives earlier last year that I'd like to talk to you about as well. The fact that they brought me in as a two-star general, instead of having a director as a civilian before, I think says an awful lot because it's a uniform issue. Quite frankly, I think when Congress wants to talk this issue, they'd prefer to talk to somebody in a uniform because this is where the issue is. So, you know, I would never say that we haven't taken this seriously because we absolutely have, but we are looking at every aspect of how we can combat this crime.
Yes, you mentioned some earlier initiatives before the ones that were just announced by the Secretary. Describe some of those.
Certainly. We want people to participate as much as possible in the legal system if they've been sexually assaulted. We want to hold people accountable. So if they've been sexually assaulted, we want to get them first to come forward. We want to get them linked up with somebody in the legal system, a lawyer, a paralegal, to sit down and kind of explain to them what the military justice system is all about. When you look at our demographics of our victims, normally they're going to be between 18 and 24 years old, and they're going to be the folks that are in their first enlistment in the military. So they're probably maybe the first time away from home, scared. They don't know what the military justice system is all about unless they've maybe seen something on TV, and that might not be totally accurate. So we want to give them some legal assistance so they feel comfortable because we want them to participate because we want to be able to take these cases to court if possible, if the evidence is good and they're willing to participate. And we know that every year hundreds decline to participate because they just don't feel comfortable about that. That was the first one that was introduced. We've also brought on board a new policy about expedited transfer. This is for any victim of sexual assault that has come forward and said they've been sexually assaulted and they're having a difficult time in that unit. On that installation, they can now go to their commander and request a transfer out of that unit or out of that installation. And that commander has 72 hours by which to say yes or no. If it's a no, that request then goes to the first general officer or flag officer in the chain of command, and that general officer or flag officer also has 72 hours by which to say yes or no. The other thing we heard loud and clear was from many victims of sexual assault that when they got out of the military and they went to the Department of Veterans Affairs, perhaps to see if they qualified for a service-related disability, that nobody had any kind of documentation that they'd ever been sexually assaulted. So we all agreed throughout DOD for one standard of documentation, retention, and that was going to be 50 years for all the documents for those that had come forward to file an unrestricted report, and it was 5 years for those that had come forward to file a restricted report.
You said that the number of actually reported incidents is a small fraction of what's actually out there. How many cases do you think there are in total of sexual assault in the military?
The most accurate assessment we can get based on the survey that we did in 2010 was about 19,000. Now, I will tell you, that's not 19,000 people that came forward and said they had been sexually assaulted. We sent out about 100,000 surveys throughout all the services, got back quite a significant response. And then based on the end strength of the military at the time, it was extrapolated that there was an estimate about 19,000 people that would have been sexually assaulted the previous year.